From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. And next hour, he's an expert on ancient manuscripts and artifacts, Glenn Kimball. He's joining us, and I'm looking forward to some of the things we're going to talk about. Plus, later on in the program, we'll talk with him about this pyramid that they discovered in Bosnia. Some people say, nah, it's only a bunch of dirt. Others are saying, nope, we're finding blocks underneath it. It's a pyramid. By the way, we had some great news. You know, our ratings that have ended are just absolutely stunning for Coast to Coast, and we want to thank all of you who have helped contribute to that, of course. But one very dear to my heart, as you know, in New Orleans, hit by Hurricane Katrina, one of our very favorite stations, WWL AM, just had to do whatever they had to do to broadcast, to keep information going to everybody in that region. It's a monster station, and they did just one of the greatest jobs I've ever seen in radio history. And I'm just pleased to announce that we got our ratings now for the second half, basically, of that quarter. And we're number one, largest ratings we've ever had on WWL AM. And I want to thank everybody in New Orleans for making that possible and hope that you are all putting your lives back together again. In Lebanon, Israel began slowly pulling out forces from southern Lebanon and made plans to hand over territory Tuesday. On the first full day of a tense ceasefire that already has been tested by skirmishes and rocket fire, Israeli soldiers in southern Lebanon shot five Hezbollah fighters Tuesday in two separate incidents. It wasn't clear if they were wounded or killed yet. The Islamic militant group also fired at least 10 rockets into southern Lebanon, trying to hit the Israeli troops. None crossed the border into Israel, and on Monday, at least six Hezbollah militiamen were killed by Israeli troops waiting for a peacekeeping force before beginning a full-scale withdrawal. In a story that really did not pick up widespread mainstream news in Seattle, we talked about it. A man accused of storming Seattle's Jewish Federation offices, killing one woman and wounding five others in a fit of rage over the U.S. foreign policy, has pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges. He's a 30-year-old. He had indicated in court last week that he wanted to plead guilty, but a judge continued his arraignment to give his lawyers time to determine whether their client was competent. He faces either life in prison or execution if convicted in the death of Pamela Wechter, a 58-year-old director of the Jewish Charity's annual fundraising campaign. This, according to the King County prosecutor. The individual pleaded not guilty to five counts of attempted first-degree murder in that July 28th shooting. Five women were wounded by gunfire, including one who was 17 weeks pregnant and three who required life-saving surgery. Up to 20,000 items of luggage have reportedly gone missing at airports because of the United Kingdom's terror alert. And this is in the United Kingdom. The huge amount of missing baggage is adding to the travel misery caused by new security measures there. British Airways is reportedly hiring more cargo planes and things to fetch the bags and suitcases that are at other airports around the United Kingdom and Europe. But it said it would be a few more days before the majority of owners are reunited with their luggage. Former President Gerald Ford has been admitted to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota for what they call testing and evaluation. They won't tell us exactly why. The statement gave no details about why the 93-year-old former chief executive went to the clinic in Rochester. And we will just keep you informed of that situation. If you own a Dell computer, a laptop, not every laptop, but listen to this story. Dell is saying that it will issue free replacement batteries to owners of 4.1 million notebook computers with batteries made by Sony Corporation that were determined to be at risk of overheating and catching fire. The Rockbound-based Dell out of Texas negotiated conditions of the recall with the Federal Consumer Product Safety Commission, which called it the largest electronics recall ever. A Dell spokesperson said the Sony batteries were placed in notebooks that were shipped between, here's some key dates for you, April 1st, 2004 and July 18th of this year. So that's a lot of computers. The battery packs were included in some models of Dell's Latitude, Inspiron, XPS, and Precision mobile workstation notebooks. Well, in Massachusetts, about 60 puppies destined to be delivered to pet stores all across the Northeast died when the truck hauling them caught fire in Lowell, Massachusetts. The driver of the truck first noticed smoke coming from his trailer just before 5 o'clock as he was traveling from Interstate 495 to Route 3. The driver, identified as a 40-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, pulled into the breakdown lane and discovered a fire burning inside the trailer. A preliminary investigation indicated that a malfunctioning fan in the rear of the trailer may have started the fire. The puppies were aged between 8 and 12 weeks. 60 of them of a variety of breeds all died. Rising temperatures will increase the risk of forest fires, droughts, and flooding over the next two centuries, according to the United Kingdom climate scientists. They say that even if harmful emissions were cut right now, many parts of the world would still face a greater risk of natural disasters. And again, I continue to say, planet Earth is in a cycle. My, oh my, what is happening in Ohio? A small earthquake shook Ohio for the second time in about 3 months, awakening residents, causing no damage. It was a 2.5. But the seismologists are beginning to wonder just what the heck is going on. A Russian woman is suing weather forecasters. Take note, folks. Suing weather forecasters for ruining her holiday with incorrect predictions. She told the court in Russia that she had been promised temperatures of 28 degrees and constant sunshine during her weekend camping trip to a nearby nature park, but instead got wet. And she said it was a downpour. So she added that she lost a lot of money. She's demanding the local weather service refund all her travel costs. The court has yet to make a decision on the woman's claim. Mammoths may roam again after 27,000 years because they're finding out that the frozen reproductive systems of mammoths can be used and they might be able to create another mammoth. It's an incredible story, and researchers are working on it right now, and the odds are very high that they will be able to do that. There are millions, they believe, of mammoths in carcasses found in the permafrost of Siberia. New kind of planet. It's called the Pluton. Here's a story under Hot Stories at coasttocoastam.com. Well, the Pluton could soon be taking its place in the solar system. Astronomers have agreed on a draft proposal for redefining what constitutes a planet. If approved at a meeting underway in the Czech capital of Prague, school science textbooks will have to be rewritten. The new definition would mean that there will be 12, not 9 planets, and more could be added to the list in the future. Of course, the classic 8 planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, but they're going to add Ceres, currently considered an asteroid, and 3 Plutons, one of which is Pluto. The other Plutons are Chiron, currently described as a moon of Pluto, and another newly discovered object called 2003 UB313, which has not been officially named but has been nicknamed Xena. So we may have 12 in the solar system after all. Remember Zechariah Sitchin in his book, The 12th Planet? Now that's an interesting twist all by itself, even though I think he included the sun and the moon and all of this, and the other planet that took off and he believes is still in the solar system. It is all very interesting. And a fascinating email in from Charlie. Charlie says, listen to the show all the time. George, you had a caller on last night that called in about an electrical generator that ran on water. It's supposed to be sold by Home Depot in a few months. That sounded too good to be true. So when I got to the office, I got on the net, looked up electricity generators by water. Lo and behold, I got a hit from a university in Canada that has been doing some experiments on such a device, but that's all I could find. There's some other articles about research as well. Nothing other than that, though. Could this be a hoax? Could the caller be telling the truth? This would be a tremendous breakthrough if it is true. But as they say, and as you said, it could be too good to be true. We'll see what happens. Maybe time will tell us all about this. What we are going to do, we did not do this today, but I'm going to have our staff contact the corporate offices of Home Depot to see if they are making purchases for this kind of generator that operates on water. I got to tell you, the caller seemed very, very sincere. Open lines for you this entire hour. So let me give you the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line. is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is ready to go at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie in the Cave, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast. I'll be in St. Louis only for this week. Really short trip, and then it's back to Los Angeles. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Take it away.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Frank from Portland.
Hey, Frank. Good. Glad you called us. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just curious if you knew anything about nucleonic reactors, and I'd tell you a little bit about what I know about them.
I'm not a physicist, Frank, but tell me what you know about them.
Okay, good. Well, I started reading about them when I was probably about 5 years ago in a popular science magazine, and I'm a big time alternative energy in space and adventure at the same time. I basically started with this process where you take waves and you put them into a hafnium 178 block, and out comes a higher amplitude of waves. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, you should be nervous. You're talking so technical. Even I don't understand you. No, I'm kidding.
It's okay. Anyways, the waves come out at a higher output level, and if you can come up with a way, you were talking about steam engines earlier, you can get a higher energy output, and in theory, it's pretty much endless energy, and it's called a nucleonic reactor. It was classified by the military a couple of years ago, and I think actually 2000, I guess I'd make it 5 or 6 years ago. And then, all of a sudden they started saying that they're using them in UAVs.
Is it safe, Frank?
You know what? I don't know. I don't have access to classified material, so I don't know what you mean by
safe. All right, and let me ask you this, too, because we had a call last night, and I don't know if you heard the email that I just read, but some guy called and said a friend of his has invented, and one of the major hardware stores is going to pick this up, a generator that runs on just a little bit of water, and you just have to fill it up every month. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, absolutely. I've got several designs. Probably the most efficient are Stirling that I can know of. Are Stirling.
Well, how do you start the thing, though? Don't you need electrical power to jump start it?
This doesn't run off of any heat source or nothing?
The way he was talking, it was just water. You put water in it. It barely evaporated. You would just put a little bit in every month, and the thing would run and generate electricity. And the size of a refrigerator could generate enough electricity for your home all the time.
I don't know that I could think there'd have to be some kind of heat source, but yeah, you could use it as a you know, recumbent the steam or hot air, whichever. The Stirling steam engine's been doing it for 200-300 years.
Yeah, but what starts the engine in the first place? Or what starts the generator? I mean, is it a crank? Yeah. Does he pull something like you do a lawnmower?
I would not have to take a look at the design. I tell you, nucleonic reactors, like I said, it starts with a wave, and out comes another wave. And as far as what I know, it's completely safe, because if it started with a wave, it can be controlled by the wave. But as far as I don't know, maybe a separation of the molecule, I don't know. Expansion, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the design, how it's. I know I could probably, you know, take a look at it and just start going crazy, just because that's my kind of thing.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, if this is true, and he indeed has a friend who's going to invent this, and that it's going to be in stores, I'm going to buy one. But like I said yesterday, let's find out, and we're going to check with one of the big stores that he said was buying these things, and just to see if they've placed it in order. And maybe they don't want to tell us. Maybe it's so competitive they want to keep it hush hush until it hits the market. Maybe that's possible too. Wildcard line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Norrie.
Good morning.
A couple of weeks ago, you had on your show what you were talking about the stars in the sky, and you stated that some of the top scientists has stated that the stars have faded, except for about two or three. I'd like to know if you've found out anything more about that. And then also,
I was pulling her leg.
Pardon?
I was pulling her leg. I was joking with her.
Oh, that was a joke?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought it was the truth, because I don't see Charlie see the stars anymore.
Oh, no, don't start this on me now. You know what? A lot depends on where you live. There is light pollution out there, and there is normal pollution, which, sometimes blocks starlight from coming in. But in terms of what I was talking to her about, telling her that all the stars were gone, there were only two left, that was just a joke.
Okay, and then also, I'd like to know on
is
your...
Is it funny?
Well, I thought it was the truth, because you said several of the scientists said the stars had faded. And I know I don't see as many as I used to see, so that's why I believed it was truthful.
See, my calendar had April 1st on it, and I got all confused. And that's just me. So what's your other question?
Okay, on your website, do you have any information about Hans King on that website?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He has a good track record.
I love him. He's a great guy. He'll be a guest in the not-too-distant future. If you need more information, I'll tell you something. Just go to the website. On the left-hand side, you're going to see a bunch of navigation bars, okay, way on the left. Click Show Info, and then click Guests when that opens up. Mm-hmm. And alphabetically, just look for King, K-I-N-G. And all his websites are there, everything you need to see. He's a good guy.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right, appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, Wild Card Line, it is your turn. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, is this me?
It sure is. Where are you?
Hey, this is Adam from Decatur, Illinois.
Oh, hi, Adam.
I had a couple of questions for you, if you had the time for two, but the first one I just wanted to ask is, where do you think we would be at as America, or the planet for that matter? You think we'd be alive? Or what do you think if the American government, as we know it, if they were to accomplish everything that they wanted to, where would we be if that happened for them?
Well, now, elaborate a little bit more. You're talking about a government that wants to do everything for us, or a government that wants to be part of this one world government and control us all? Because it could go in two different directions.
Really, actually, I didn't really think that far ahead. But just the government as we know, like the American government, all parts of the government.
Well, you know what? I would love to believe that the American government will do everything it can to help Americans. Here's the problem. You got a lot of greedy individuals, and you got a lot of greedy corporations that would prefer to take advantage of all of us. And I'm afraid that if things continue in the direction they're going now, they're the ones that are going to get taken care of first, not us.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm wrong, actually.
That we're taken care of.
Yeah, well, of course, but I don't know if they're going to do that. What's the other question?
Right. And actually, the other question is a few weeks back, you had another guest on, I don't remember who it was, they were talking that the CIA was able to intercept, change any information that reached the major medias, like is like some kind of contract they had written out.
That might have been Stephen Greer, who was on with Art, because they were talking about some signals from outer space. I've got to tell you, I've been in broadcasting since I was 19. I'm 56 years old, and never have I had a jam signal. Never have I had someone from the government come in and say, you can't broadcast this story. Never have I ever had a piece of film or videotape when I was in television confiscated and taken away. It's never happened to me. And if it's happened to some other people, so be it. But in terms of me, I can't say that it happens.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, because I think in most cases, a lot of this is blown out of proportion. On the other hand, there are some things that happen clandestinely. People disappear. There was one guy who was working on a story that had to do with some software, and he got strangely murdered. So things like that happen. I think a lot of it has to do with the type of story that the individual covers. A lot of things that I did in my earlier days in broadcasting were just you know, typical stories, normal stories. There was nothing really deep or in depth. Now, with Coast to Coast, we're really getting involved in some things. But again, never been told ever not to run a story. And we've broken some big ones on Coast to Coast, and I hope we break some more. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue for the rest of this hour before we're joined by Glenn Kimball as we go looking for ancient manuscripts and artifacts on Coast to Coast AM. Well, 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 as I promised, to continue to keep you abreast of the special chelation therapy, the experiment that I've put myself under ever since a couple of years ago when I interviewed Douglas Mulhall, who wrote the fine book called The Calcium Bomb, which had to do with breaking away the calcium in your system. I've gotten half of the tests back, and when I get back to Los Angeles, I'm going to get tested just to see where my calcium level is. But this is fantastic, and I've got to share this with you. First of all, your arteries that lead through up to your brain, you know, your carotid arteries, however you want to pronounce it. You've got two of them, right? They're on, you know, the left side and the right side of your neck, and up to the brain they go. And, you know, like arteries in your heart, they too can get blocked. And as you get older, they tend to diminish. Well, I went and got tested back in November of 2005, all right? Got tested. Keep in mind, I'm 56 years old. I'm not a kid anymore. And through the testing procedure, and he showed me this, you know, the calcium in those arteries. And he said, okay, George, here we go. You are, for your age, 56, you have 62% of the men your age have better arteries in their neck than you do. 62%. Well, that was not the kind of news I wanted to hear because I want to be around to do this show for a long time. So, you know, it was just one of the things that convinced me that I was going to be a candidate for this grand experiment that I'm going to share with you, because if just one of you, just one of you can get saved by this, it's worth it for me. So onto the program I went. You know, it's a chelation program, it's an antibiotic program, and it's a nutraceutical program. And so I did it. And last week when I was in Los Angeles, we redid that artery test. And that's only half of it now. That's the ones leading to your brain through your neck. And now I am in the top one. Keep in mind now, for guys aged 56, 62% of the men out there are better than I was. That was in November. Last week, I am now better than one-third. I am better than 62% of the men who are aged 45. Now, that's how dramatic that thing turned around. So I'm looking forward to getting the full test when they go in there and check the arteries in your heart and everything. And I'll give you this. I'll give you the report as soon as I get it. I'll get tested next week. It'll take about a week or so to get the results back. And I'll let you know what it is. And then if you want to do it yourself, follow through, go ahead. They generally say stay on the program for 4 months. I've been on it for 6 months. I'm going to try to go 8 months. And then you just do a maintenance program for a week once a month. And that's it. That's how you take care of yourself. One of the things, and, you know, exercise and watch your diet and everything else. But that's the first results so far. So good. By the way, if you're a Twilight Zone fan, you're going to love what we have in store for you in a few weeks. So you just stand by. Let's go back to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Where are you?
Good morning, George. I'm in Arkansas on I-40 headed to Dallas, Texas.
Well, welcome to the program. Hey, did you see the picture of Bill Clinton that Matt Drudge had posted on his website today by any chance?
No, I didn't.
My God, I guess he's turning 60, but he looks 80. I mean, I've never seen him age so fast.
The last time I saw him on TV, he did look a little puffier.
Yeah, he just does not look good at all.
Well, George, I thank you for taking my call. I'll make this quick because I am on a cell phone, and I don't want to lose signal in the middle of telling you what I want to tell you.
Sure.
But This incident happened to me when I was about 5 years old. I was living in Marion, Ohio, and this happened over the evening, actually over the night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I noticed on the closet door a shadow of somebody outside my window. And being a five-year-old, just kind of scared me to death. I put my head under the covers and fell back asleep. When I woke up that next morning, I'd had some praying hands that I'd made in Sunday school that were hanging above my bed. And we made them in Sunday school, painted them, took them home, hung it up on the wall. That next morning, after seeing this shadow on my closet door, I woke up to the sound of something breaking. And what it was, those hands slid down the wall, and I hit my bedpost and broke. Well, not just moments after that, not even a minute after that, I got up out of my bed and I noticed a fly on my bedroom, the window, the screen. And the fly was about the size of a medium-sized potato. And it kind of took me aback because it was so big. I thought it might have been the neighbor boy playing a prank on me. And I went outside, walked around the trailer that I lived in, and there was no fly there. But, I mean, I was totally conscious during all these three things. I still remember it today. I'm 31 years old. I'm just kind of wondering if anybody ever brought up the subject of oversized insects or weird things. I attributed it, honestly, to maybe Beelzebub or Satan, one, kind of messing with a five-year-old who just, you know, my mom had just put me in church and things like that. But I don't want to hold you up. Just I'd like maybe your thoughts on it. And, you know, if...
All right.
I've
got to tell you, I've seen horse flies before, but they weren't as big as small potatoes.
This was a good sized fly. It was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. It's ironically enough, growing up, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years later, my aunt had a Texas horse fly, a fly swatter, a souvenir that she had brought back from Texas, and it kind of more so ingrained that thing that, you know, that would have been a perfect fly swatter to whack that fly with. But I mean, the thing was huge. And Marion had a military installation there that was in the news a couple of years ago because they dumped a lot of stuff in the ground. And I didn't, you know, really understand mutation back then, and I don't really understand it now, but I don't know if it was possible for a fly to mutate that big or, you know, somehow grow that big. But truth is stranger than fiction. I guess I'll never really know exactly what was going on, but I like to share that with you guys, and I thought it was a perfect place for it.
Okay, that's a big fly. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know how they say nature always has a purpose for something, that everything is put here for a specific reason. Somebody let me know why we have flies and mosquitoes. What is their purpose? By the way, it's nice to know that the mainstream media finally catching on to the NASA story about the missing Apollo 11 tapes. It happened to finally be a big story today after we talked about it with Richard C. Hoagland from the enterprisemission.com 2 weeks ago about this situation. Started off as just a small little blip, but nobody really touched it. Today, it's a big story. Today, NASA's running around trying to find out what happened and everything else. And thanks again to Richard C. for popping on again last night to give us an update on that story as well. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on the air with us. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Carlos from Carson, California.
Carlos, hi. How are you?
Real good. I just wish things were better off in the Middle East, though. You know, it's the carnage over there. Which, I've been looking at this 9/11 scenario, and there's so many tremendously glaring inconsistencies that I really have doubts of the government version and really have doubts in this whole war on terrorism. When you look at the fact that there were 67 successful interception of planes that flew out of their path by our Air Force, yet that same day we have three that they were not able to intercept. I mean, what is the probability of that happening?
It was a disaster, and in some cases, there may have been orders to stand down, Carlos. You need to take a look at the Vanity Fair article about the NORAD tapes. If you want to talk about a conspiracy or bungling or stupidity or whatever you want to say on that horrible day and leading up to it as well, because I do believe that there were some people in government who were aware that something was coming down. And they were either too stupid or they just turned around and decided not to do anything about it. But I agree with you. The inconsistencies are huge, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at them.
Well, I believe they're traitors, basically. But, you know, when you look at the fact that controlled demolition came in and cleared up the debris right away, right after 9/11, and it's the same company that cleared up the debris in the Oklahoma debacle. The same company, by the way, they also specialize in setting up explosives, okay? So that my mind keeps running around a bit with that.
But well, we are, Carlos, just so you know, because I don't want to dwell on 9/11 tonight, but because the clock is ticking, and it's worthy of a full program. As we get close to the anniversary date, 5 years, believe it or not, we'll do a complete program on it with a number of guests and have people give their feedback and also take your calls as well. I mean, it's about time that we do something like that, and we will. And, you know, and some of the people we bring on are very knowledgeable in terms of why they say what they will say. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Anthony. I'm calling from Arizona.
Hi, Anthony.
I definitely will be calling on that September 11th thing because I have a few things to talk about with that.
Sure.
But I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. And this really goes out to anybody listening, too. If they've seen anything like this, I'd be real interested in what, you know, what their story is or what they thought it was, and especially you. I had a buddy of mine call me a while back ago. And he was telling me he just got home. He was driving on Hunt Highway out here in Arizona, which is kind of an open highway going out to Coolidge, which is still developing. And this guy doesn't believe in anything like spiritually ghosts or, you know, anything freaky like that. So when he calls me in a panic, I was a little intrigued. But he said that he found flying about 6 feet off the ground with a wingspan the length of his car and a body size, a torso the size of like a donkey flying 6 feet off the ground on the opposite road coming right at him and passing by him.
It's not unusual. I'm telling you, we're getting reports of even bigger objects, bigger birds than what he saw. What did he describe, though, exactly?
Well, the way he described it was, it was like a bright white color, and it was flying about 6 feet off the ground, like I said, and it was in the opposite road. It didn't really look at him. He didn't get a good look at its face, but he did see the wings, and he said that the wings looked not feathery, so not like a bird, but not like a pterodactyl or like a reptile either. And I said, well, could it have been a bat or maybe like a chupacabra, I'm thinking maybe, or something like that? And he's like, yeah, but that big? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. The way he described it was smooth type of texture, a white color, not feathery, and very, very, like when he went by it, he wanted to get home as soon as possible. He had a very bad, bad vibe.
Oh, must have scared the heck out of him.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Freaked me out when he told me about it. So I'm interested to see if any of your callers have had experience like that, too. I want to talk just briefly about two other things. Last night you had a guy on that was talking about energy zappers and things
right.
And such. And he was also commenting on, he was in Mexico and he had that dream with the clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a very strong person spiritually. I mean, I don't back down from, you know, demons or anything like that. I'm very, I guess, competitive. I don't know what the word is.
Good for you. At least you've got the strength to do that.
Yeah, which I know a lot of people don't. But this bothered me because it was in the middle of the day and I was trying to get some rest. And I kept having, like, for example, I had this dream, I guess, and it was a very attractive lady, and she was all normal and smiling, and she turned away. And then all of a sudden, I heard her, like, screaming, and it was like a bone-chilling scream I can't describe. And as she turned around, her face was being discontorted into, like, this really freaky-looking, non-human-looking chick. And it happened all the time. Every time I closed my eyes to try and dream, I would see a normal person, and then they would morph into this thing. And he was talking about that thing, and I'm wondering what the heck was going on for that three-hour period I was trying to get rest. If maybe, any ideas?
Well, something's happening. Maybe you're too strong. Maybe they want to challenge you.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. That was kind of creepy. I didn't really know what to do with that. I mean, eventually I just kind of walked around, walked it off, and went right to sleep. Last thing I want to talk to you about, and actually I want you to bring this up to the gentleman that you're having on tonight about ancient manuscripts.
Sure.
I'm reading the Lost Gospel of Judas, and there's a lot of interesting things in the book as far as what's in the Gospels themselves, as far as Judas's actual role in the whole situation. And I don't know if he's going to be bringing up that kind of manuscripts, but if you could bring that up to him and see, you know, maybe what his opinion is on that whole situation or, you know, what he knows about it, I'd be very interested in that.
Okay, sometime during the interview, I will bring that up to him and we'll see what he has to say. By the way, happy birthday to Richard C. Hoagland's significant other, Dr. Robin Falkoff. Happy birthday, Robin, and you just get better. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. Well, I was going to call and ask you about that, the water generator, but you already got to that, so I have an angel story for you.
Okay, and I got to find out about that water generator. I mean, that could be the greatest little invention I've ever heard about.
Yeah, I know. They'll sell more than 3 million of them.
Okay, angel story.
Yeah, so when I was a little kid, my grandma passed away. I was probably 3. And it really tore me up inside. I used to cry a lot at night and that kind of thing over it. Until I remember one night, I was laying in my bed, and over in the corner of my room, I saw a figure, a real pretty young lady, maybe 18, 20, something in there.
Did she have wings?
No wings, just dressed normal, like you would see a woman probably, well, I don't know, 360s anyway dressed. And real soft lighting and that kind of thing. But I just felt extremely calm. She didn't say anything, just stood there. Didn't say anything to me, just got an incredible feeling of calm. And since that time, it you know, didn't affect me in the same way. I was still sad, but not as tore up over it. And didn't cry about it all the time, that kind of thing. And I never really knew who it was. Until years later, when my dad brought out my my grandma's senior picture, and that was the woman who was
the
in the
same
corner
one.
Of my room.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? She may have paid a little visit to you. Let me ask you something. When she did visit you, was there anything wrong with you? Were you sick, or did something eventually happen? And you know, your life was saved. Some kind of altering event.
No, not that I know of. I think you know that visit was that I shouldn't be you know, so sad and so torn up over the loss of her, that, you know, she's in a better place and she just wanted to let me know everything was okay.
When you saw the picture, I mean, did it just shock you?
It really made sense. You know, it wasn't a huge shock. It was more of a, well, okay, that makes sense kind of moment.
Kind of a relief, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I got it figured out now then.
That's a neat story. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you being part of Coast to Coast. Might have time for about a 45-second call, whatever it is. Hi there.
Hey, George.
I'm going to have to short you, but take the platform. It's all yours.
I just wanted to let you know about a story I heard tonight about two Hispanic Border Patrol agents who have been convicted and are awaiting sentencing for violating the civil rights of an illegal who brought across 800 pounds of marijuana.
And they have been convicted of violating his rights?
Yes, and apparently the guy that had his rights violated was offered immunity for testifying against these two agents. And these guys are looking at up to 20 years in prison.
Unbelievable. What did they do to him?
I didn't catch the whole story, George. I just wanted to bring it to you.
All right.
and let you look into this thing.
I shall. It's the first time I've heard about that one. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. This planet just gets stranger and stranger, does it not? I'm glad we're all in it together. So we'll stick around. Glenn Kimball, lots to talk with Glenn about right here on Coast to Coast AM. And then, of course, in our last hour, we flip the switch, the magical switch, and give you a chance to talk with him. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.